Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is entitled, 12 Questions You Must Ask Your Accountant. Tom, we've both been in business for a number of years. Have you ever met with your accountant and it seems like he or she is really speaking another language?
You bet I have, Bill. And guess what? Nearly all small business owners have had the same experience. Talking to your accountant can be a bit intimidating, since they seem to have a language all of their own. However, the reality is that it's your business and you need information from your accountant or CPA to properly run it. The good news is that this month's presenter lists 12 questions every business owner should ask their accountant. If your current accountant can answer them and help you understand the answers, great. If not, might be time to look for a different accountant.
Oh, you're right, Tom. A company's accountant should be an integral part of the business team. If they're not adding value to the business, then I think it's time to find an accountant that will. This month's presenter is Tom Shea. Tom is the founder and president of Prophet Plus Solutions. He is a fourth-generation small business owner and speaker with lots of experience. His knowledge of small business marketing, business strategy, staffing, and financial management has provided small business owners with the help necessary to increase their profits while building their business for the future. Tom also works with manufacturers and wholesalers to help their staff understand the complexities and challenges every small business person faces. Helping these suppliers to have the knowledge to assist these small businesses allows the supplier to be a more valuable partner. And now, with 12 questions you must ask your accountant, here's Tom Shea with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
Our program today is going to take a close look at the relationship between you, your business, and your accountant. Whether that individual is a CPA, certified public accountant, goes by the title of accountant, bookkeeper, or EA, that's enrolled agent, we're going to ask you a series of questions, 12 questions to be exact, and ask you to look at these and how you interact with your accountant. Now, this is being done today by a presenter who is none of those, just another small business owner. And this small business owner wants to take and have you re-examine the relationship. Because if in the 12 questions that I'm asking you today, if I am teaching you something about how accounting should work, and you can tell me that you have utilized the same accountant for 3, 5, 10 years, then I think we're begging for a reconsideration here along the lines of, well, how did another small business owner teach me something about accounting that the accountant I'm paying for has not taught me? So what happens in the conversation, the relationship? We find that there's quite a few things that perhaps your accountant is not telling you. Perhaps there's quite a bit of aspects where we look at and think, we're not really playing on the same team here because I'm not learning these things from my accountant. Now, this is not to say the accountant is bad, evil, nasty, or any of that. We're simply looking at it from the standpoint that the relationship could improve, and with an improved relationship between you and the accountant, then there is a strong likelihood that you can make your business more profitable, you can diminish the taxes that you're paying, and because you are a small business owner, there are a lot of little perks and advantages that a small business owner has that an individual does not have, and those may or may not be working to your advantage. So let's start with what we see as a traditional conversation going on between the accountant and you, the traditional aspect of how things happen, and that is business is conducted through the course of the month. And when we get to the first part of the month, as this is being recorded, it's about the 11th of a month, and perhaps that's the time of each month where you are waiting for a bank statement to come in or to pull it off from your online account. You are gathering up things such as check stubs, some invoices, receipts for other things, perhaps putting all this in a folder. Your accountant may have instructed you to pull certain reports from your computer system. Again, put those into a folder, and then one day as you're heading to a job site, you drop this off at the accountant's office. And as we see so often, when we get to the end of the month, you get a phone call from the accountant, and it says, come on over, sit down with me a little bit. Let's look at the numbers, as they are so frequently referred to, and let's look at what happened. And so you make an appointment, you go to the accountant, you sit down in that nice comfortable chair, and then you are handed a folder with your financial statements in it. Perhaps a profit and loss statement, a balance sheet, perhaps a statement of cash flow that goes with it. There may be a couple other documents that the accountant has told you that you need. And the accountant says, let's review this. And the accountant goes through certain items, and they may begin using a bunch of the accounting terms that we struggle to understand, such as current ratio, asset ratio, debt-to-equity ratio, things of that nature. And already our head is beginning to spin. We're not understanding what these numbers are. We don't understand what the ratios are. Primarily what we're looking at is, so what was my total revenue? And what were my operating expenses as a whole? And then we're looking at, and so what was the bottom line? And what our other big concern becomes is, we know what the balance is in the checking account. And then we turn around and we look at the statement that the accountant has given us, the profit and loss or income statement, whichever terms they choose to use. And you're going, wow, revenue's up, things are going good, and it says that I'm making money. So where's the cash? Where is this money if I've got so little sitting in my checking account and it says I've made this amount of money, and this isn't the first month that this is happening. This has gone on month after month after month, perhaps to the point that sometimes I'm even having to delay when I pay a bill just because I have not collected from some of my customers. So question number one, item number one on our list, is to make a point that you may not be carrying your share of the conversation because the accountant is using these terms and you're not understanding them. You may not be carrying your end of the conversation because you don't understand these. The question I'm going to ask is, perhaps your accountant knows you don't know these things. I see this rather frequently. The accountant knows that you don't know this stuff, and taking sides with you, the accountant is not helping you to learn these terms. The accountant is not helping you to understand how these terms are relevant. Hence, why would you even want to learn this stuff? And the accountant is not bringing this over into your language. I mean, for example, with what you do for a living, if you were going to provide one of your services for your accountant, surely you could get into tech speak and leave the accountant completely behind, where they would have to sit there and just shake their head with a, uh-huh, yeah, okay, right, uh-huh, oh, yeah, sure, which is a lot of how it feels in your situation when the accountant is using their tech speak. This is where, to solve this, we need to call the accountant's hand and saying, I don't understand this. I need help. I want to understand this. I want to be a better customer of yours. Tell me how to do this. Now, I'll give you one example of an accountant that I have met. And this accountant, when they are taking on a new customer, gives them a 20-question test and says, I want you to go home and answer these questions and bring it back to me. And then I'm going to grade the sheet that you have brought back to me. And this is what I determined to be a passing grade. If you get a passing grade, I take you as a customer. If you do not get a passing grade, I will not take you as a customer. And the accountant says rather boldly, I just don't have time for dumb people. And I don't have time for people who, once I can point out to them that they don't understand things, I don't have the time to educate them if they're not going to make an effort on their own. I think the accountant's onto something at that point. We do need to understand these things. So here's the second question that is very relationship to what you have just said. How come I've got revenue, but I don't have profits? I have profits sitting there, but I don't have cash sitting there. What's going on here? Well, here's what's happening. Growth is like a monster. And this monster eats one thing, and that's cash. For you to grow your business in any way requires cash. It would be wonderful if you in your business could get a customer, provide services to that customer, and then bill them and get the money in before you had to pay your staff, before you had to pay any of the bills of your business. But that's not the way it works. We have to put cash out first. So if we have products that we use as a part of our service, well, if our inventory of products goes up, that's where part of the cash is. If we have bought new equipment, there is the principal and interest being paid on that. That's where part of the cash is going. If our receivables are coming in slower, then in effect we have become a bank, and that's slowing up our cash coming in. Or if we also, by not planning and understanding our cash needs, had an opportunity to pay a bill or two and pick up some discounts, we may have done that, lowering our payables, and that takes some of our cash. All of these combined together, we're not understanding that growth is a monster. The monster only eats cash. So what we need to do is determine, can we afford the growth in our business? Because sometimes the answer is, no, we can't. Item number three on my list. The expenses on your income statement, your profit and loss statement, can be arranged in any format that you would like. They do not have to go in the format that your accountant is currently putting it in. You also can take and add details to the income side of your statement, as long as the information is helping you to make decisions, helping you to understand better as to what's going on in your business. I mean, this is actually the only reason why a profit and loss or income statement exists. It is to be a document to help you understand what's happening in your business and causing your business to be more profitable because you understand what's going on. So our third item is the expenses can be arranged in any format, and to that extent, we would invite you to go visit the profitsplus.org website, where there you can see a sample of a traditionally arranged income statement, and then one which we call the logical income statement arrangement. And this tool that's on the website will allow you to put in your information, hit the enter button, and then it will rearrange it and say, take a look at this new format and see if this doesn't help you to make decisions better, to have a better understanding of what's going on in your business. Item number five, looking from month to month about the third line down in a very easy to read profit and loss statement. You usually have revenue, then you have cost of doing business, and then you will have the next one after that is going to be your gross profit stated as dollars and then also stated as a margin, your maintained gross margin. Item number five is that your maintained gross margin should not be jumping around from month to month. If it is, as I have seen with some businesses, then what's happening is that the expenses are simply being recorded when an invoice is paid, not as the expenses occur. I can make anybody's service business look tremendously profitable, just don't pay the bills. Now, that's going to get us in trouble about the second month, but up to a point, it's going to look good. Expenses should be recorded as they relate to the revenue. When it doesn't, and we see a business that has these tremendous jumps, too often the business owner kind of gets lulled into a false sense of security that, oh, wow, I'm making lots and lots of money. And then they go out and make some decisions they shouldn't have, because in the next month, if it bounces way down to a low number and it shows that they're losing money, then we turn around and get conservative. We don't need to be bouncing around from month to month. Item number six, the month of February. Quite often, the month of February is when, for some unknown reason, small business owners go and meet with the accountants. We have taken to them all of the necessary documents to file our tax return, and we're going to sit down and look at it. It's generally a meeting of a let's review the year. That doesn't make sense. Let's review the year. The year is over. It's done. There is nothing that we can do about it. Instead, let's look at it in a slightly different way. And that is, consider waiting till May, allowing the accountant to get past the time period where they are probably doing personal tax returns. And in the month of May, say, now let's meet. And with this meeting in the month of May, we can stop and say with the accountant, 4 months are complete, 1/3 of the year. Let's take a look at how January through April this year is going compared to last year and say, do we see trends? What do I need to do now within the next 8 months based upon what's happened in the last four that I can make this year become more profitable? Because meeting in February and saying, let's look at what happened, the game is over. It's done. The answer is there is nothing else that you can do. Item number 7 on our list deals with the balance sheet. When your business goes to borrow money, you should expect that the banker or the individual who's loaning you money is going to ask to see your balance sheet. Now, your balance sheet has what we refer to as the assets, things that you own on the top half, and then the next section is liabilities, places where you owe money to. And when you take the assets and subtract from it the liabilities, what you have left is the net worth, stockholder equity, or value, whatever it is that you call it. It's another way of saying you. How much of the business do you own? And all of these components are very important. When you borrow money, you are most likely going to be handed a document to sign. It's probably going to be some 30 pages long. Only once or twice in the document are they going to name the dollar amount and the interest rate and the terms of payment for the loan. The rest of the documents, the pages, are referred to as covenants. Covenants as being agreements. Agreements as to how you will operate your business for the length of the loan in a manner that is satisfying to the person who's lending you money. Most likely, they are going to ask for financial statements on some basis. It could be monthly, every other month, it could be quarterly, and they're going to begin to take this information that you give to them, and they're going to run some analysis. Now, this is where you hear the phrases that current ratio, debt to equity ratio, and all those other words and phrases of that type that you've heard the accountant use that quite often we don't understand what they mean. But these are all subject to some degree of interpretation because they are based upon assets and liabilities. And within assets and liabilities, each is categorized in two ways. Assets are either current or they are long-term. And long-term is sometimes referred to as fixed. A current asset or a fixed asset. Liabilities are the same way. The money you owe is either current or it's long-term. Now, there is a way that these are very clearly divided, and that is 365 days. Here's how it works. Any asset that you have that is expected to be converted to cash within the next 365 days is a current asset. Those that are not expected to be turned into cash in the next 365 days are a long-term or a fixed asset. The same thing goes with liabilities. Any liability that is to be paid in the next 365 days is considered current, and any liability outside of 365 days is considered long-term. So let's go buy a truck for your business. Okay, it's an asset, and it's going to be a fixed asset because you're not going to sell it in the next 365 days. Fairly simple. But the liability side, because you are borrowing money from a bank to pay for this vehicle, that vehicle is both a current liability and a long-term liability. because the principal part of the loan payment, okay, not principal and interest, but the principal part of the loan payment that is to be paid in the next 365 days, or in essence, your next 12 payments, that principal part is the current liability. The rest of the loan is your long-term liability. The question then comes is your accountant categorizing it correctly? And I put this in as a part of this presentation because I do see a lot of times where the answer is no. The accountant has not categorized it correctly. And the reason that this happens is because the accountant never looked at the terms of the loan within itself. That's another guideline. If you're going to borrow money, the accountant, as well as the attorney, should be looking at the documents to make sure that for the length of the loan, you can remain within compliance of the covenants of that loan. This does make a big difference as to whether or not you stay within those guidelines. The eighth item on the list deals with a situation where your business needs some money. And you're deciding, I've got money because I have taken money out of the business over the years, and I'm going to perhaps loan it myself to the business. And then again, I may go back to the bank and ask for a second loan. Or the other opportunity here is, do I contribute this to the business in what we call contributed capital? Contributed capital is like the situation when you first started the business. You perhaps had a vehicle, you had some equipment and other things, and then when you became a legitimate business, you contributed this to the business. Does this stuff make a difference? Depending upon the ownership, yes. Because if you loan money to the business, it's a loan like it came from a bank. So if you already have a loan from the bank and then you turn around and loan money to the bank, the ratios are affected in one manner. But if instead you take the money that you from yourself to put into the business and it's called contributed capital, then that's going to affect the covenants in a different way. So at the point where you need to put, say, $10,000 into your business, the wise one would be to have the conversation with the accountant and say, let's take a look at this. How should I put money into the business? Should I go ask the bank for $10,000? Can I loan the business myself the $10,000? Or should I increase my contributed capital to it? Item number 9, it's a budget. Every business should operate under a budget. A budget, just like you receive monthly financial statements, you need to have a monthly budget. And that is 12 consecutive months into the future, not calendar, 12 consecutive months. And this is your plan. In essence, what you're doing is writing the profit and loss, the income statement of the future. This is what I expect to happen. And each month as it goes to conclusion, and therefore we get a completed financial document, we need to look against the budget that we created and say, how close were we to target? And whatever variances we have, what does that teach me about tuning up the next 11? And since I need 12, that would teach me how to create a 12th one. So if we're looking at, say, the month of September, I've got my budget for September. I've just gotten my P&Ls from September. And what I need to do is make a comparison. Look at the months of October through next August to see how does my budget look? Do I need to change anything, update anything? But now I need to create a budget for the month of September next year. And here we are in the, say, the first week of October. This is the best time while September is fresh in our mind to create the budget for next year. The key point of number 9 is to say, this is something you should do. You don't buy software for this. You definitely do not let the accountant, bookkeeper, CPA, EA, anyone else do it. You're the most qualified person out there to make the estimates of what's going to happen in the business. And it is an exercise you need to learn to discipline yourself to do. Stepping one layer past a budget is an item that's called a cash flow plan. Cash flow takes a budget, and it will take another step or two forward, looking to say, how much cash will I have on hand? It's a fairly simple exercise. All you're doing is taking the budget and saying, well, how much money do I start with at the beginning of the month? Add to it what I made. Take out things like your principal payments, because they're not showing up on your P&L. and you come up with a number that's going to say, this is what my cash should be at the end of the month. But this is something 30 days in advance that you're knowing. And then you're doing it for the next 12 months. So in essence, you could know today how much money would be sitting in your checking account 12 months from today and for each and every one of the next 12 months. A cash flow plan is a must-have. This is probably my biggest sticking point in our conversation here about looking at accountants. If your accountant has never told you you need a cash flow plan, if your accountant instead says something like, don't worry, I'm watching it for you, or if there's a problem, I'll let you know, this is danger signs going up. You need to know, because this is you, your life, and your business. Do not become dependent upon someone else who says, I'm going to watch your money for you. This is without question the number one most important management tool that you could have, a cash flow plan. Item number 11, you might not be in the right legal entity for your business. Many of us start out, it's just us. We are what they would call a sole proprietorship. You own the business, you put money in a checking account, and you take out what you need to pay your bills, assuming the money's there. In the United States, there are 6 legal entities. There is a sole proprietorship, a general partnership, a limited partnership, a C corporation, an S corporation, and an LLC. And some of these within them have little minor variations off of them, depending upon the number of partners that are involved in the business. You may have the right one initially, but as your business has grown 5-10 years from now, you may not be in the right format. To that extent, allow me to suggest the purchase of a book. Go online and look up the website Cincy Tax Coach, CincyTaxCoach.com. The gentleman's name is Mike McCormick. He is a CPA. He has a book entitled The Entrepreneur's Guide to Business Ownership. I believe the price is $25. It's a great read. It's a short, easy read. But in this small book, Mike McCormick explains, here's each of the 6. Here's what qualifies, such as number of people who are a part of the business in the form of ownership. Here's what doesn't qualify. Here's the advantages. Here's the disadvantages. You need to participate in this type of conversation, be it with the lawyer or with the accountant. You need to be in this so that you can say, I know that we're making an intelligent decision as to how my business is situated. It's a simple example between a C corp and an S corp. If you have a C corp, it makes money, and that money that your business makes is taxed. Now, when you, the person who owns the C corporation, wants to take the money from the corporation, as it comes to you, it's taxed again. It's double taxed. You might be a great candidate in that situation to instead be an S corporation, meaning that it's still a corporation, it makes money, but whatever money the business makes is now taxed one time at your personal rate, because the profit that it makes rolls over to your personal financial statement and is taxed at your personal rate, which stands a good chance of being a lot lower than the C corporate rate. And definitely when you look at it, it's not double taxed. 12th and final point. Your accountant, I don't care who they are, is not all-knowing. They don't have the final decision. The IRS does. Things are subject to interpretation. Accounting is not an absolute black and white scenario. There are shades of gray. Let me give you a quick example here. A business owner who has children, a business owner that when they take time away from the business and they travel, make a point to go look at other similar businesses to theirs. And this same business owner likes to write with pens. They like to collect nice pens. What has that got to do with your business? Here's 3 potential scenarios. The first one is with the children. Instead of giving your children an allowance, what if you were to hire your children? Now, they can sweep floors. You have a warehouse. They can load stuff on a truck for you, whatever. It teaches a child values, perhaps the same values that you learned as a child. But see, if you give your child an allowance, there's no tax deduction to it. But if your business hires the child, then the child begins to build up their Social Security credits, and the child's so-called allowance working for you becomes a legitimate business expense. With regards to the trips, if you were out and actually looking at other businesses similar to you, then that could be considered a business expense because what you're doing is marketing studies. And with a pen, well, quite simply said, there's nothing out there that says you have to write with a pen that you picked up out of some hotel the last time you went to a convention. Nothing that says that your business can't buy a nice pen for you to write with. Now, my experience has been that I have seen people who, after hearing me say this, have said, my accountant says I can't hire my child. My child's only 9 years old. And my rebuttal to that situation is to say, ask your accountant to show you in the tax code where it says you may not hire a 9-year-old child. Ask the accountant with any situation, where in the tax code it says you cannot do something. It's all subject to interpretation. You may simply be engaged with an accountant who believes that their interpretation is absolute law. You may need to look for a different accountant, or you may take and have a conversation with the accountant that says, we kind of need to broaden our horizons here. So there's 12 points. What we're looking at is the idea of you and your accountant. What's your relationship? Because there may be some things your accountant is not telling you. And my last bonus point to you is invite you again to go back to the ProfitsPlus.org website and look for an article that I've written entitled, We're Not Playing on the Same Team. Okay? We're Not Playing on the Same Team. It is a guide article for interviewing accountants. It has about 15 questions on it. And it gives you some ideas of how to engage an accountant in a conversation of interview so that you can find the really good accountants. Because it always begs the question, this sounds interesting, I do need to find a different accountant. Where do I find them? You have to look. You ask other people about who they utilize, but you use something like this article as a guideline to help you. With you and the accountant, we do need to be playing on the same team because business is challenging and we need everybody going in the same direction. Thanks for your time.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.